The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
And we're back. Believe you me. What's up, baby boy?
What's up, Blue? It's coming in hard there. Excited. My word. Yeah. Yes, we didn't do a second show last week. We apologize. Businessmen, you know, we got things to do. Lewis, you're a business mogul. In fact, I see you're back there at the ranch, back at Gas Digital Studios. Must feel good.
It does feel good, but I got to be honest with you. I do not like it. I like being at home. There's two things. Number one, in order to look at you, I have to do this, which is strange because it looks like I'm literally looking away. I don't know how it's looking on the screen. I don't even know what's going on to the video, but I'm looking away from you on my screen. So then I got to do this, which makes no sense. My neck is all cranked. I want to sit at home in the Gomez 1/10 mansion and just enjoy a nice at-home podcast like you.
Don't complain about cricks in your neck, okay? We spoke about this last week. I'm not going to get into it, but I have zero sympathy for it. And I'm sorry that you have to slightly glance left. I mean, I know it's tough. I know that's hard for you, Lewis, but come on, a slight glance to the left. Not to mention the fact you should be in your business, rallying the troops, inspiring them, leading them. You know, like the Wolf of Wall Street at Stratton Oakmont. I'm not leaving. I'm not going home. I'm staying here and doing the podcast. And then everyone cheers and applauds. You need to give one of those speeches, Lewis.
Yeah, I am very inspirational. And you're right. I do need to come in here and be a leader. A ship without a captain is not a ship at all, right? But I will say I'm very jealous.
It's a sinking ship.
It is a sinking ship. I'm very jealous. I'm watching you at home. You and Rebecca were just enjoying a nice little chat. You're like, oh, I got to go piss. You're in your underwear. It's a different thing. I can't. If I'm in my underwear, I'm going to go to prison because my female employees are going to sue me.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going on right now. We'll stay away from that. But Father's Day yesterday, Lewis. Father's Day. I know it's a big deal to you. I saw the post that you put on, by the way, of you and your father, who obviously, as we know, is deceased, unfortunately. I had to resist very hard because, in fact, I had a long conversation with Rebecca about I was going to roast you. I was going to give you some shit. I was going to take the piss. And she's like, no, you can't do that. That's mean. And I'm like, well, Lewis always says everything is fair game for a joke, right? So I was going to come on and like talk a bit of shit. I can't remember what I was going to say. Nothing mean. But then in the end, I went, oh, he'd be proud of you, buddy. Because Rebecca talked to me off the ledge. I was going to make fun of it, you know. But
I'll tell you right now, if you would have made fun of me, I wouldn't have cared. You know for a fact, I'm not going to give a shit at all. I put it out there. A lot of people make fun of me, obviously, for that. But, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm getting a little more sappy. I find myself doing that more often. So I wrote a post, a little Father's Day thing, an homage to him. But not so much an homage to him, it's an homage to my son. You know, and the point made, which was like, look, it sucks growing up without a dad. But if my dad hadn't been killed when I was a little kid, I wouldn't be here today. There's no way we'd be doing this podcast. The amount of things that would be different in my life, you hear about like chaos theory or the butterfly effect. There's no way that I would have this little boy, my son, who I love more than anything in the world. So in a weird way, I say good riddance, Pops.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Because I have the same good riddance to your father. Sorry, I missed that bit at the end. Yeah, fuck that guy. I'm glad he's dead, Lewis. You know, I have you in my life.
I trade my awesome son for fucking my father who was stabbed outside of a strip club at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't think he's going to do that much.
Let's find the guy that stabbed your father. He deserves an award or at least a handshake.
You want to know the truth?
I think you tried to find him, right?
I did, and he passed away. I was going to interview him on my other podcast and just have a conversation about it, and like just because I thought it was really interesting.
Wow, that's ballsy that you would do that. Do you think if you had done that and you sat down in a room doing a podcast, Do you think at any point any kind of animosity would have built towards him? Because I know you'd say no, but I feel if I was there, I mean, it all depends how he handles it. If he was kind of cocksure about it and didn't show any kind of, you know, regrettability, is that even a word? Regrettability? Regretfulness?
I know.
Regret. Just regret. Just good old fashioned regret.
You could have taken five syllables off that word.
Regrettabilityness. Regrettabilityfulness.
Regrettability fragilistic espialidocious.
Ah, there we go. We get there in the end. Yeah, do you think you'd want to reach out and grab him by the throat?
Well, here's the thing. No, because what happened was he was a young kid. He was like 15 years old when it happened. My dad was a man who got into a fight with a kid, which is weird.
So basically your father was out bullying people and he got his fucking comeuppance. He got put in his place once and for all.
Basically,
fucking Gomez the bully, eh?
But I would have, I mean, I guess if the guy was like, yeah, fuck you. And like that, but that was weird. That would be a weird thing to do. What if he just beat me up and killed me?
Is that what you generations? Gonna do? I've been trying to take out multi-generation Lewis's for some time. I got your father and I'm pretending to be your friend right now, but no, you're next. That's big of you. And again, Lewis, I'm sorry about that. Yesterday was Father's Day though. I had a great day. You know, did you have a good day?
I had a great day. Well, what did you end up doing for Father's Day? What was your, give me a little vision of the Bisping Father's Day, because I bet you probably had a little bit more of a feeling loved on Father's Day, because I don't get that at all. Like,
I get nothing. Okay. Rebecca's not, and I'm not either, but I always spoil Rebecca. For example, Saturday morning, she got a bunch of flowers just because I'm that guy. You know what I mean? Father's Day. Yeah, well, and it wasn't like a little, like, a backhanded thing, like, hey, look at me, I'm sending you flowers for no reason. On Father's Day, there better be a fucking good gift. That wasn't the reason. I just woke up, I thought, she's great, I'll send her some flowers. But generally, no, we don't really go in for that, much to my regret. I wouldn't mind it. But Saturday night, the fight's finished. We'll get into all those in a little bit. Incidentally, we have Bobby Green joining us. Big character. Had a big win Saturday night. Looking forward to talking to him. But when the fight's finished, it's crazy. They're finishing so early right now because they're on mainstream ESPN. Obviously, there's a lack of all the other sports right now. 9:30. We'd finish the fight and finish the post-fight show as well. I jumped in the car, drove straight home, 3.5 hours. Did it in about 3 hours, you know, foot down. Got home, went to bed, woke up in the morning. Rebecca walks in. Because I don't know why, but when I was laid in bed, I thought, I'm not going to get anything in the morning, as usual. I mean, here's me. I'm working my ass off. I'm driving all over the place. I'm providing a pretty good lifestyle here. But I won't get shown any form of appreciation in the morning. Anyway, she gets up. She goes to make me a coffee. She goes away. She comes back in with Lucas. And they've got two things in their hands with little ribbons on. I thought, oh, look at this. Here we go. And I had my coffee. And the presents, God bless, were just nothing big. It was a big bar of chocolate, because I love chocolate. And it was a can of Sapporo. That's my favorite beer right now. The big silver cans of Sapporo in a thing. Just like kind of a joke gift. But she gives it to me. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning. I got in late. And I cracked the beer open in bed. And she's like, what are you doing? You can't drink beer in bed. I'm like, babe, my son just gave me a gift. What kind of father would I be if I just went, thanks, and put it on the side? It sends the message that I wasn't blown away by it, that I didn't enjoy it. So I said, I've got to drink it. So of course I drank it, and they got a nice little kick, those big cans. So then I had another one and another one. And lo and behold, we're fucking Sunday fun daying up in the Bisping house. We all got into it. Me and Rebecca, we sat on the balcony. We haven't done that in years. In England, all my friends do it. They all drink every week. And on Sundays, especially if the sun is shining, it's what they call Sunday fun day. So I got involved, Lewis. Had a
that
fun
means
time.
Like, you know, like almost waking up and starting to drink right away as soon as you get up.
The moment I woke up, I hadn't been awake more than 2 minutes. It was great.
It sounds awesome. I do that anytime I'm on vacation. If I'm in the Caribbean, as soon as I wake up, there's a frozen daiquiri, whatever it is, every single time.
Did nothing with the kids. Lucas went next door, played with Lucas. He was happy. He was in his, he's in his own world. They're building forests. They're doing dens. They're trying to attempt to make a YouTube channel. I mean, Rebecca sat on the balcony. Nothing crazy. We had a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine. That was that. But it was a very, very nice day. Sun was shining. And
you should
that
do
was
what
that.
You want to do. I mean, look, I'm not one of these people like, oh my God, Father's Day. It's my day. That's fucking crazy. Even, you know, we're adults. If it's your birthday, if it's your, even like big holidays, like Christmas, like it's just about getting together and seeing the family. It's not about getting things or feeling like you're taken care of anymore. It's really about giving. So I feel, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I would feel weird if I was given a gift on Father's Day. Like, I'd be like, I don't need a gift.
Yeah, listen, I'm not knocking anybody. I don't need a gift. Some people do. Some people get gifts and good for them. That's great. But yeah, it's not essential. As I say, a little bar of chocolate and a beer, it's just a bit of a jokey gift. You know what I mean? And a card. The card was nice. All the kids left a little message. So that was beautiful. I saw DJ Khaled on Instagram this morning, and I'm not knocking DJ Khaled and another one because he's great and I love his music, but he was there. Now, of course, DJ Khaled, I would assume his budget's a little higher than mine is. You know, he's a very, very successful music producer and probably worth millions upon millions. But I saw on his Instagram this morning, just opening gift after gift, Louis Vuitton bags, Louis Vuitton this, Gucci hoodies, shoes, you name it. And I was like, whoa, you know, but hey, you know, good for him. Wasn't jealous at all, Rebecca. And in fact, I'm not jealous. I don't want Louis Vuitton. I don't want Gucci. I'd feel like a fucking asshole. A mate of mine used to have Louis Vuitton suitcases everywhere we went, right? And he'd take his little fucking Louis Vuitton everywhere. And no offense if you're rocking the Louis Vuitton out there, but you just look like a bit of a dick. You just like a bit of a show off. Number one, you separate yourself from common man, right? You just instantly say, hey, I'm fucking Mr. Designer Clothes dickhead. And I don't know. There's no need for it. I like quality things, but I like sophisticated, understated.
Yeah. It's got to be a little bit under the radar. You're like, oh shit. I don't even know what that watch is, but I know it's nice. Those shoes, they're throwing out logos out all over the place. Nobody really gives a shit. That's something that insecure, old, used to be hot women do. That's what it is. Like a chick that used to be hot back in the day and she still needs to prove herself. It's a very interesting type of person, or just insecure in general, I would say.
Like, I buy my wife Gucci handbags, right? The Gucci handbags are great, but she doesn't wear Gucci clothes. And I'm talking every now and again, you know, we're talking like every couple of years or so, I'll buy her a nice handbag. She never asked for them, but I feel like on a woman, a purse, you guys call them for some reason. In America, we have handbags, and inside the handbag, we have a purse. You call the big one a purse, right? What the fuck is going on? Anyway,
you act like you got off the boat yesterday.
Blows my mind. That is not a purse. It is a handbag.
He can't understand why we have a different word. Yeah, it's different. It's a different culture.
But so much out here is different. And I honestly believe, seriously, that fucking 1776, you had the Boston Tea Party, you kicked his out. You're like, yeah, good riddance, you fucking bad tooth, limey fox. Right, that's it. We're doing everything different, okay? They ride on the left-hand side of the road. We're going on the right. They call it a handbag. We're going to call it a purse. They say aluminium. We're going to say
aluminum. Do you know what I found out?
What'd you find out?
Most of the world drives on the right-hand side of the road. I thought most of the world, like all of Europe, I thought was on the left-hand side of the road. That's specifically an English thing.
Yeah.
And English colonies.
Correct. That is correct. And I think I've told this story before, but you know why we ride on the left-hand side of the road?
I don't know why.
I'll tell you why. Because back in the day before there was cars or vehicles or automobiles, as you say, cars will do. Vehicles. I love living out here, by the way. Before there were vehicles on the sidewalks, no, before there was cars on the road, people, the main mode of transportation would be horses. And people had swords because back in the day it was a lawless society, right? And they had swords and everybody was right-handed. In fact, if you were left-handed, they forced you to be right-handed back in the day. And if you were on the right side, hold on, let me get this right. Yeah. If you're on the left, that means you can control the horse with the left and fight the sword with your right. If you're on this side and you're holding your sword with the right, you're going to chop your own arm off.
Yeah, or kill your horse. Accidentally slice your horse's ears off.
You're going to decapitate a fucking horse. You know what I mean?
Pop its eye out.
So back in the day in the Houses of Commons, we're like, we got to look after these horses. We don't want decapitated horses. Fuck that. Right on the left.
I feel like, why wouldn't you, like in war, because they used to use horses, I would always chop the fucking horse's legs right off. That's what I would do. I wouldn't fuck all the sword play shit. I'd come down, I'd slice all four of his legs off with my sword. That guy would fall off. He'd probably break his neck like Superman. And that's that. Pretty
well,
easy.
I think
play.
They did that on Game of Thrones, right? Didn't Jon Snow do that in the Battle of the Bastards or something? I think they were
there was some horse killing. That was the first time I ever saw, like, every other fucking movie before that. It's like, oh, these horses just get
just
to live.
Kill
huh?
the horse. Kill the fucking horse. He's going to come off the horse. I'm like, yeah, you're in my world now, bitch. I've said it for a while that America doesn't care about the horses. You know what I'm saying? You're riding on the right hand side of the road. Fucking shame on you. Oh, dear.
How we got there. How did we even get there?
I have no idea. No idea. We do Father's have Bobby
Day.
Green.
Father's Day. Day.
What did you do, Lewis?
Father's Day, I woke up and my son was staying with his mother the night before. So she dropped him off to me and he had brought me a card, which was very nice. Really, he always draws his own cards. He's a really, really good artist and he really loves to draw.
No one likes a show off, Lewis. Okay. We don't need James's awesome session again. We know him. He's the best kid. He's the best.
It's better than Lucas. So he gave me a card, which was very nice. On the front of the card.
He's better than Lucas. He is. He is. I watched those videos. He can fucking sing. He can play the piano. He's doing jiu-jitsu. He's making his own pizzas. I'm like, Lucas can't do shit. Okay? Lucas can't do anything. I'm like, I'm
Lucas
this close
wipe
to
his own ass.
I'm going to disown that child. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to drive off into the desert and just like, just go around that corner. There's a prize for you. And then just drive off and just leave him.
So the front of the card, he wrote me, he wrote, ha, 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 he, ha, 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 ha. I'm so glad to be your son. Even if you work a lot, I love you so, so much. And then it made me feel really bad.
I'm going to say that's a backhanded compliment. Love you so much. Even though you're never there, dad, even though you're an absent father.
Yes. Even though you're working, meaning scrolling Reddit.
And you have, growing up with no father, shame on you, Lewis. You're repeating the cycle.
And then he drew me some pictures, like a picture of me performing comedy and a picture of me and him doing like pads because we do the pads a lot. Very cute. But that was it. That was a whole Father's Day celebration in terms of what was done for me. And then he goes on to tell me, he's like, oh, do you know mom's... her boyfriend's name is Eddie. Her, you know, it's not a stepfather because they're not married, but like, you know, her boyfriend for a long time.
Go on. What did Eddie do? Did he upshine you? Did he do something, overblown gesture?
He goes, Eddie's a father too. So we made him breakfast this morning. And I was like, you fucking made another man breakfast on Father's Day?
That's the ultimate betrayal, Lewis, right there.
I know. I'm going to kill Eddie's horse.
And he lives with Eddie right now. So Eddie's first dibs. On the Father's Day treatment. No. He woke up with Eddie and he's making Eddie fucking breakfast in the morning. You need to take control of your son, Lewis, because I feel like he's like slowly grasping out of your clutch.
Well, first of all, Eddie does not live with him. Eddie visits with them.
Let's kill Eddie. Never mind the horse. Let's get Eddie.
You know what, Eddie? We're fucking coming for you. We gotta teach Eddie a lesson.
Oh, we're going to get him good. We'll film it. Bonus episode of the podcast. We go to the house. I'm coming up to film an episode, right? Yeah. He has to stay in because he's on quarantine and we're going to go around and fucking slaughter his horse.
Eddie beats the shit out of both of us. Turns out he's a fucking warrior.
Oh, God's sake.
Then we ended up going up to Robert Kelly, great comedian, Robert Kelly. To his place. He's got a pool and my son and his son are the same age. So they just played all day and I just drank some beers, relaxed a little bit in the sun. It was a nice day. Swam a little bit.
So you're coming out here in a couple of weeks for your annual Father's Day trip. I'm assuming Eddie gets first dibs. So of course you got to do it after Father's Day, but we're going to go up to Big Bear, right? Here's what I've planned. I've looked into it, Lewis. And if you don't mind, we're going to go up to Big Bear. We're going to rent a cabin. And I'm going to invite the rest of the family. If you don't mind, you know, huge company, several's a crowd. So there'll be all of us. There'll be Megan, Ellie, Lewis, Lucas, Callum, Rebecca, you, James. We can do jet skis. We'll go fishing on a boat. We'll do, you know, some shit like that. Yeah, you down for that?
I love it. I love it. We'll do jet skis, fishing. I'm going to bring a little bit of gear, do a little bit of training with the boys.
Yeah.
We can fight each other.
Definitely.
Put it on our Instagram Live.
I mean, people say, you know, people have an issue with people getting together and making their dogs fight. Fuck that. We're going one step further. We're making our children fight and we're going to take bets on it.
I'm going to do it like they used to do chicken fights. I'm going to tape razor blades to their fingers.
We should fly out Brian and Harrington and we should film a few podcasts. Is that even a possibility? Can we do that? Do they want to come to Big Bear?
That Harrington is going to be involved in my Father's Day trip. It's infuriating.
Okay, we fly out Brian.
Harrington just killed himself in the booth.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's do it. I mean, if they want to come, of course, I'm going to be in my own room with my son, right? I don't have to fucking share a bunk bed with Harrington. That's all I care about.
Yeah, no, fuck that. No, Harrington's outside. He can sleep in the hot tub when it's we'll empty it, of course. We're not assholes.
Watch Brian around Megan. Brian's young. He's good looking. Do not get Brian involved in this trip. I'm telling you right now.
He's young, free, and single. Megan's on the lookout. She's dating. You know, I don't know if she's dating. I know nothing about her love life. So, but yeah, there you go. All right. Well, maybe we'll do that. That should be fun.
Mr. Bisping, I would be remiss if we didn't take a moment to thank one of our brand new sponsors. Didn't I say that?
Yeah, no. I'm saying I would also be remiss if you didn't.
I thought, I was like, did I use the wrong word? I've never tried to use that word before. And that was the first time I ever did.
No, I was like, excellent vocab. You know, we're fucking bringing the heat on these ad reads. You're coming in with, you would be remiss if you didn't tell people about what, Lewis? Hold on, let me think. Crossrope.
Oh my God. Mind reader. It's incredible. Okay. First of all, if you guys don't know what it is one of the most fun workouts you could ever do. Short on time, no worries. Crossrope lets you get a killer full body workout in just 30 minutes. The big differentiator really is they have these weighted ropes, which give you different types of feedback. So you have strength training benefits, you have cardio benefits, and they have this really, really cool fast clip system. So you can take the different ropes and put them onto your handles, which are really high quality, very fast. You don't have to carry a bunch of equipment around. Incredible program.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing. Treadmills, boring. Elliptical machines, I'm just going to say you lose a few man points, although I do use them because of my knees. Here's the thing. Skipping, as I like to call it, it's not jump rope, cross rope, whatever you want to call it. I'm English. I'm sorry. I call it skipping. Okay. Skipping is as old as time. And it's also badass, right? Because every single boxer, kickboxer, you name it, they all skip. It's part of the essential routine for a boxer, for a fighter. You need the cardio. You need the stamina in your legs. I remember I walked into the Black Knights kickboxing gym when I was about 13 years old. First thing they did was give me a pair of skipping ropes. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not a girl. But no, you got to learn how to skip. At first, couldn't do it. After a while, oh, baby, I was like Rocky Balboa. In fact, no, I was like Ivan Drago up in this bitch. I was fucking skipping.
I was going to say, are you describing the plot of Rocky 3 where he went to learn?
They looked at me, they're like, you got to go to the mountains, okay? You got to isolate. I went there and they gave me fucking, I was lifting carts. I was dragging dead horses off to the slaughterhouse.
But it all started with skipping rope.
It started with skipping rope, and that's what got me here to the UFC. And if it wasn't for skipping rope, no, seriously, you're going to burn a ton of calories. You're going to feel great. You are going to get a good workout. You're going to burn your shoulders as well whenever you're skipping. That's why it's so important for boxers. Obviously, the legs are very, very strong, and when you're jumping around like that, you burn a lot of calories. You get a great sweat, and you feel good. It releases endorphins, but it's also building up stamina in your shoulders. As you know, a boxer, throwing hands and moving around on the legs. So it's a full body workout from head to toe, and it will leave you feeling great, Lewis.
It really does. And it's everything, your core, your back, your shoulders, arms, glutes, anything you can name, your whole entire body from head to toe. And they have the weighted ropes. So it's very different than simply just grabbing any old jump rope. It's a unique program. And they also, the app, not only do they show you the different workouts.
I was going to say, the app is the important part, because this separates it from other, you know, skipping ropes. Because you can go by skipping rope anywhere, but not the cross ropes. The cross ropes have multiple different weights. They have the different handles, as you mentioned, and they also got the state-of-the-art app, which allows you to track your workouts, Lewis.
Which is important. I'll tell you right now, if you know where you're going, right? If you're running a race and you don't know where the finish line is, you're probably going to quit that race, right? You got a finish line. You set a goal in mind.
Just because I'm blind in one eye, why are you going to insinuate I don't know where I'm going? Okay.
I'm just assuming you're running around in a circle.
One eye on the prize at all time. I'm like, you're taking shots early today, Lewis. I don't leave my eye out of the ads reads, please.
All you got to do right now, it's pretty cool because we're going to give you a 60-day risk-free guarantee. So if you don't love this program, you got nothing to lose, okay? Lose weight for 60 days and then say, hey, you know what? I'm losing too much weight. I want to go back to being a fat ass.
No.
But all you got to do, no, or don't do that.
Don't scam the company. Buy the ropes, like the ropes, love the ropes, use the ropes, suggest
the ropes and
recommend them. Keep the ropes, but if you don't like it, send those pieces of shit back. Because guess what? They are true to their word. You get 60 days to try it, and if you don't like it, send them back.
Right now, crossrope.com/believe, crossrope.com/believe. You save up to $40 off your Crossrope set, plus free shipping when you check out today at crossrope.com/believe, BELIEVE. Make sure you spell that correctly. I know some of you guys aren't the brightest bulbs. crossrope.com/believe. And go get yourself in better shape. All right, where were we?
What's going on? So how long until Bobby Green joins us? About 10, 12 minutes?
Yeah, got a little bit of time left.
All right. Where do you want to go?
Let's talk about some of the other news besides the fights, because I know we're going to talk about the fights after we talk to Bobby. What do we got here?
So what's in the news? I apologize.
It's all right. Let me just pull up the actual. I didn't even have the notes open in front of me. We were just riffing, bro. This is fucking how good
this
we are.
This is what we do. I know. Hold on. Harrington. Notes. Here we go. All right, that's all the fights. We're going to get into the fight stuff later. Jim Miller won. Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua are rumored to be featured in UFC 4. Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. They are fighting again, provided Fury beats Deontay Wilder, which, you know, looking by the last fight, he absolutely smoked him. I don't think that's going to go any different. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, that will be the biggest fight in British boxing history, in my opinion. So that's going to be good. UFC plans to continue hosting events with no crowds into August, meaning DC versus Stipe Miocic, the rematch, the rubber match, UFC 252 will have no crowd.
I get it. I mean, look, the reality is I think they have a viable business model. You know, they can do pay-per-views without a crowd, and they make the lion's share of their money, I'm assuming, on pay-per-view. The gates, at this point, I think it makes more sense to play it safe than sorry, especially if you're the UFC and you can do it. It's a weird thing because you see restaurants. I felt so bad. I walked out today and there was a restaurant, my favorite restaurant in my neighborhood, this French restaurant called Rendezvous in Harlem, just a couple blocks away from me.
That's the name of the nightclub where I met Rebecca.
Ooh, look at that. It's an important place to both of us. And they closed their doors. I saw that they were just completely shuttered up. And we went into phase two in New York today. And I just felt really bad because it's like they were such a great restaurant. It's not like they were ever super busy. I'm sure, you know, it's just a young business owner trying to like survive. They couldn't afford to do that. You know what I'm saying? But the UFC, they can. So I say better safe than sorry. I think in a weird way, I like the events with no crowd. I hate to say it, but I really do enjoy them with no crowd.
Well, I do want to get into that, and I do want to break that down. But unless you're blind, and I know you're wearing glasses, and unfortunately right now you're going to have a little crick in your neck and you got to look left or right, whichever it is. But if you're not looking at the monitor like I am, I see Bobby Green. I see the logo of Bobby Green in the corner. What that would lead me to believe that Bobby has joined the chats. Bobby, are you there, my friend?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, buddy. Can we see you? I think if you go down the bottom, there's a little button. And if you click start video or something like that, then we should be able to see you as well.
Okay.
Oh, there he is. What's up, Bobby?
There we go.
How you feeling, man?
I'm good, bro. How are you, bro?
I'm excellent. So I was just telling Lewis, the first time I met you, the first time we had a proper conversation was Thursday, and you became instantly my favorite person because you're obviously clearly very, very highly intelligent because you walked in and the first thing you said is, I got to say, Michael Bisping is a fucking genius. I'm like, this man is really smart.
Is that my exact words? Those my exact words.
In my mind, the way I twist everything, yes, that's precisely what you said.
Okay. I could have sworn I said something more along the lines like, you are the epitome of never give up. You are the epitome of stay strong, true to who you are, and push through, and trueness and champion, you know what I mean? And being a champion, you know, like, you got a true story, bro.
Thank you, buddy. So this is Luis J. Gomez. He's the co-host on here. Luis, say hi.
What's up, Bobby? And I love the fact that you put Bisping in his place because he wanted to be called the genius so bad. But in the reality was you were giving him a backhanded compliment. You're saying, Bisping, you should have never really gotten to the top of the mountain, but you stuck in there and I appreciate it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, fuck you, Bobby. Hey, this conversation's over, bro.
Is it okay if I cuss?
You do whatever you want, man. Say whatever. No, we swear all the time, buddy. So whatever you want, it's all good.
Okay, because you're going to hear a lot of niggas from me.
Okay, say whatever
my
you want.
Favorite word.
You ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna hear it from me. Okay. But you fill your boots, buddy.
I ain't gave no passes to nobody yet. Like Tyron really gave a pass to Mike Perry. I should have socked Mike Perry in the face for letting him slide with that nigga shit.
Yeah, but hold on. Isn't he 0.0? He's 0.00001% African, is he not?
Yeah. I thought he said 0.2.
Who knows?
To be honest, that's what I've been trying to fight him. I was trying to fight him.
Oh, really? Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I was trying to call him up on all his pages, trying to pull his whole card, you know? And he didn't never answer. He was trying to send subliminals. But we know Mikey Perry is a tough guy, you know? But all of a sudden, he's not that tough when it came to a real nigga pushing his buttons, like, hey, let's really see about, you were saying, ain't nobody, because the point is, he said, nobody was going to do nothing about that, you know, when he said, he's saying nigga. Well, I'm like, hey, I'm first in line, because Tyrone was at that time letting slide, and I'm like, Usman should have punked him, you know what I mean? If you're, none of y'all going to punk him in y'all division, then fuck it, I'll go step up, you know? I'll come out my division, go up there and fight him.
Well, yeah. I just got to say something, because we had Darren Till on last week and he was talking a bit of shit on Mike Perry. And now you're on talking much shit about Mike Perry. He's been a guest on the show. So you talk about the shit you want.
Dope. Let's not even get it wrong. You know what I mean? I know he's coming from with it. But when he said that shit, like, you know, ain't nobody going to do nothing about it. That's when I'm like, oh, like, do you think you punking us? Is you punking niggas? Because in that case, I feel like, shit, I'll step up right up to the test. I got no problem going to 170 to fight you.
So Bobby. Go ahead, Lewis.
I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize.
No, please.
So is that something that, like, so you weren't, were you really mad, or you're just sort of taking the opportunity to troll him back? Because he's trolling you, right?
I'm not mad about it, no, but at the same time, like, if nobody ain't gave you the pass to say nigga, shit, they don't think you're going to fly with it without and punk us with it. Like, you ain't hard like that. Like, nobody ain't going to fight you. You know what I mean? You ain't, and you, there's plenty of tough guys in this sport. We ain't going to just let you just ride around and think you tough. Like, there's going to be some tough guys going to check you, and I'm one of them. You know what I mean?
Hey, where are you calling from? Where's home for you?
I'm right now, I'm in Rialto, you know what I mean? But San Bernardino, as most niggas know it, you know what I mean? We in the slums of the slums. I'm in the hood.
Yeah. So listen, Bobby, I want to get, before we get into your fight on Saturday, do you mind? I mean, we had your father on the post-fight show. Sorry, you had your father on your interview. That was a beautiful moment, right? It was beautiful. And we're going to get into that a little bit. But you grew up, obviously, in foster homes and things like that. Do you mind sharing a bit of your story with us? Because I don't know too much about it. And I am genuinely interested.
Okay. Yeah. I'll fill you in a little bit. Basically, you know, like, my first memories of life is like being 4 years old. I used to walk from city to city, you know, as a kid. Imagine walking from a city to like the other side of the city, you know, 4 years old. So it was me, my mom, my big brother, and my little brother. My little brother must have been about 6 months. So nobody could carry me because I was four. You know, I was like that age where you could walk on your own, but you just can't walk fast as the rest of the adults. So I was almost sprinting, you know, just to keep up with them, you know. And my brother would get tired of holding me. I'm getting kind of point where I'm getting heavy for a four-year-old, you know. He can't carry me walking from city to city. It's hot. I had to walk on my own, you know. So we'd walk from city. We walk to this other spot. We get to someone's home, and they'll let us stay there for a second. My mom would steal maybe two avocados off a tree. And between them, we had to split them between me, her, my little brother, and me. We split two avocados, you know? So I get about a half. I remember being so hungry that I would shove dirt in my mouth, you know? Put dirt in my mouth to eat, to just the slow the hunger pains, you know? Being a kid like that, you know? My mom realized she couldn't keep us.
Do you hear me, Bobby? Because I'm just,
yes, sir.
I think they lost me, or Lewis lost them. They just said, I lost you. All right, no, but I hear you. Okay, you do the interview. Our studio went down, but me and you are good. We're still rolling. We're still recording. So Lewis has just hopped out a minute. He'll be back. So, carry on with what you were saying. I'm listening, bud.
Yeah, so my mom just realized like she couldn't keep us. She was bad, had a bad drug problem at the time, you know. Was really bad on drugs and just gave us away to foster care, you know, lost us. And from there, I got in the system. My grandmother got me, and I lived with my grandmother, and she was my support system. She was my mother and my father, you know. But the problem was that she was on my dad's side. My dad was in prison all my life, so I never had a dad. I didn't get to see my dad to me. I was about 12, 13 years old when he got out of prison. He went on with his life. But anyway, back to my grandmother. Mm. So my grandmother died around over the age of 14. So when she died, I was about 14 years old. I was just getting into high school. I just started wrestling, and she was the first time she saw me being like a light, you know? But being in foster care, like, since no one knew who my father was, my grandma was able to get me as a foster care child and still get paid to keep her own blood, you know?
Yep.
So it was a cool way for her to help repair bills too. You know, at the same time, she got to love us too and show us some great love and great things, you know? That's why I say yes, sir, no, sir. I got that from my grandmother. She made sure those were things were instilled in me, you know? So then she dies. I'm just going crazy, you know, but I wanted to prove to her that I could still go on, you know? So I kept on with the wrestling. I stayed in foster care. Someone on the wrestling team took me in. And so I wrestled on the wrestling team from there. I got kicked off freshman year, came back sophomore year, didn't have grades for sophomore year. I came back, wrestled junior year. I ended up taking fifth in state, and then I took third in state. So when people think I can't wrestle, like when I was up there at the fifth, the number one guy, he beat me by 1 point in the CIF finals, and the number two guy I beat already. So he ended up beating me for in the semifinals by 1 point. So I was right there in the mix with the top wrestlers, you know, around.
And that's crazy, Bobby. I mean, that really is. Because, listen, you know, a lot of fighters. I mean, I didn't have a silver spoon in my mouth growing up. But honestly, nothing compared to what you obviously went through. I mean, it's incredible that you had a tough upbringing. You had a very, very difficult start to life. And you could have gone off in any kind of direction. So I'm assuming the fact that you got into wrestling, that must have been a big part of keeping you on the straight and narrow. Because for me, martial arts and getting involved with some kind of sport, because I was always getting arrested. I was always getting into dumb shit. I was always getting into fights. I was never a criminal, just always fucking getting into fights. But did sport, was that a big, you know, positive influence on your life?
And be honest, I went crazy too. You know, like, I did wrestling because wrestling fed me. Like, my coach would take us out to eat for Jack in the Box stuff. I had Jack in the Box for the first time when I was like 14, you know? Like, I never got those things as a kid. We were broke. So, like, to me, that was like a treasure. You're going to give me free Jack in the Box, McDonald's, and whatever. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm on the team, you know? We make weight, and then he feed us. I'm on the team, you know? Hold on, baby. I'm doing an interview right now. Okay. Anyway, I forgot where I was going with this. Basically saying, but I spiraled out for a lot. You know, I went through a lot during that time but sports kept me somewhat focused. You know, I made a lot of mistakes.
Do you have brothers and sisters? Because if you do, they must fucking be so proud of you right now.
Man, to be honest, that's
of course you haven't got brothers and sisters. You said you fucking had a fucking baby as you were walking city to city. So my bad, yeah. But they must be so proud of you right now.
Yeah. But one of my little brother that was there, he got killed to gang violence. You know, at 23, it's been one of the darkest chapters of my life. You know, I had to fight Josh Thompson 2 weeks after that, you know. Just fucking crazy, you know, just dealing with a lot. My big brother got shot, and then he ended up moving. It's just a crazy place where I live. It's just crazy, bro.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. You know, I mean, as I
said,
I've got my little sob story and this and that, but it is nothing compared to that.
Lewis, a lot of dead homies.
Lewis is the same way. Lewis went through a lot. When he decides to fucking show his face on the interview again, his father was murdered when he was 4 years old. You'll never hear the end of it. He loves to feel sorry for himself. He brings it up all the time. It's like, it happened a long time ago, Lewis. Fucking get over it.
I'm going to keep it real. I really can't speak to you. I don't really know a dude like that. I can't speak to you.
Oh, good, buddy. Well, I only want to speak to you as well, so fuck that guy. We don't need him. Saturday night, man. You came into Saturday night. Obviously, you needed a win. You got robbed by the judges on a couple of occasions. Were you feeling the pressure coming into that?
Let's talk about that real quick. Let's talk about those robberies.
Let's do it.
You know what people say, like John Anik was saying, he hasn't won a fight since 2016. He said some shit like that, you know what I mean? And it looks real bad to me, you know what I'm saying? But keep it 100. All right. So I fought Dustin Poirier. That's the only person I felt like has ever beat me, Dustin Poirier. I'll give Barbosa a close decision. Yeah, this stuff happened there. And I fight a lot of close fights. So I'll
just looking at your record. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm just, in case you think this motherfucker's looking at his phone, I'm just looking up your record. Carry on, bud.
Be honest, it's for the viewers. You know what I mean? Somebody's going to catch the story and then somebody's going to love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, yeah. So then I fought Barbosa, and I'll give him the maybe he could edge it out. Maybe, you know? Everybody else, I feel like I've beaten. I outscore these guys. I outpressure them. And it seems like they do these little bitty things, and the crowd gives them so much pressure for it. I don't think which is much, you know? Like, if you look at the last four fights, if they're saying 2016, since the Poirier fight, I fought Lando Venata. We went to a draw. Lando dropped me in the first round with a good shot. I give him that. But after that, he got taxed the entire fight. I taxed his ass, you know what I'm saying? And he said, he'll put it out there. The hardest fight he's ever had been in was with me, you know? So he knows what's up. I'll put that on his ass. So next guy, I fight Nurmagomedov, Russian kid.
Yeah.
Down in whatever. I fight that Russian kid. I knee the shit out of him at least 50 times. I fucking worked him. But he was sitting there waiting on me to go. He never wanted to go unless I'm going. So it was kind of like a boring shit. But I brought the best I could do with this guy who just wants to wait around. I whooped his ass too. Edged him out. I feel like I'm looking at your record here, though,
and fuck me. I mean, it's Josh Thompson, Edson Barboza, Dustin Poirier, Rashid Magomedov, pardon me, Lando Venata, who's fucking sick, by the way, and then Dracar Klaus and Francisco Chinalo. Then
so you got Jacar, the now Jacar.
My point was going to be, though, fuck me. I mean, they're all top of the food chain guys, and Rashid, not that well-known, but a very, very difficult style to beat.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
So even Jacar, he was cheating, this little cheating ass motherfucker. I've outpointed these guys. I've out wrestled them. I out controlled them. And nothing. I keep going through these judges. The next kid, fought Trinaldo. Trinaldo, big striker. He got a little shot on me. After that, I whooped his ass. Every time he tried to take me down, I ended up on mount on him. They pick a guy up in the air and end up on mount. Guy ended up mounting you, you know? So I controlled every one of these fights. I don't get it. After Trinaldo, I was to the point where I've just gotten used to getting robbed, you know? It's been since 2016, I've been getting robbed, and it's okay to me, you know?
Well, that's so when they say that, on so many levels, because, of course, I always say when you go into a fight, obviously, you know, you're trying to win, right, because of your pride and all the rest of it. But also, it's your fucking win bonus as well. I mean, so when you lose in those close fights, you feel that you won. And then the final twist of the fucking knife is that when you give you your paycheck and it's for half the money. And I've been there and it fucking sucks.
Come here, baby. Come here.
Who's this?
Yeah, it's my wife.
Oh, hey, let's say hi.
Not my wife, but my future to be wife.
There you go. What's your call?
Say hi, Tabitha. That's my
hi,
business.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. How's Bobby doing?
He's good, actually.
He's happy. So you're one thing
I'm
you said
good the, when I make the money, I'm good.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You said that you just recently qualified as an electrician.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So was that partly to do because you felt you were getting robbed by
King Valley College?
So when you're done fighting, you're going to be an electrician, obviously?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know. I just did it just because I'm a very competitive person. Me and my brother's an electrician. So he's been doing it for about 10 years now. And I just told him I could do it too. You know, like I'm not only a puncher and kicker, I can use my brain too. So I went to school and I was like, man, I can learn this stuff. I'm like, man, I'm going to catch up to you. Watch, I'm going to catch you. And it's just something I was competing with him for. He's kind of a brother thing. We're jealous of each other.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
We compete.
No, that's great. When I first started doing this, my goal was to make enough money so I could go to school and just fucking get a regular job. You know what I'm saying? That was my goal. So it far exceeded that. So well done. So, all right, fast forward. Saturday night, you're fighting Clay Guida. Close fight. Sir? Give us a breakdown of the fight from your perspective.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Now you say close fight.
Yeah. It went to the judges. Come on.
You know I'm going
to
get you.
You won the fight.
You know I'm going to get you. First of all, you are a striker, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I will come out here with these. And you're supposed to be on our side. The guy
I'm fucking on your side, bro.
No, motherfucker.
Whoa.
You was over there on the other side, like, well, Clay is. I'm like, well, okay. I'm going to see him
Hey, I appreciate the honesty, Bobby, and I get it, and I totally hear you. Hey, and this is what we do, back and forth, good for you. But I can't be impartial, you know? I've got to be impartial. I've got to call both sides.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm going to go ahead, and so now I'm going to let you know exactly how I see it so I can make it a little bit better for you, clear for your vision.
I don't see too good. So yeah, I need all the help.
I'm talking about for everyone because different people look at fights so many different ways, and you can see a fight in so many different types of ways you're seeing it. Like I know a lot of people saw it as he's pressuring you and he's holding you a lot during that cage, so he's winning this cage time or cage control. Okay, so I'll give you one thing he's doing well is cage control. He's not even punching out of those cages. He's not landing shots. Okay, and there was no time where a lot of times I would have got up. He's not letting me go. He's just holding me. So that's one. He was having cage control. So that's one thing on Clay's side that we're giving Clay. I'm not trying to knock him at all. I respect him, okay? So no disrespect. We're being honest and open with each other, okay? So that's one thing I give Clay. Anything else I would give Clay? I don't know. I would say he was kind of, like I said, he was coming forward and try to maybe close some distance and pressure me towards the cage, but that's still cage control, really.
Most of the time, I look second round, third round, I'm walking him down. As you can see,
I totally agree.
Robot or something.
And I always look at it from a striker's perspective as well, because for my money, when someone's trying to take somebody down and they're pushing you up against the fence, they're trying to take you down, if you stop them taking you down, for my mind, you won that exchange. The guy that's trying to stop the takedown beat the person that's trying to get the takedown. So we should get points. But what I'm saying is, from the judge's perspective, they don't look at it like that.
I just see it as zero.
At it like they're pushing you up against the fence and therefore they're winning. But that's bullshit, because they're not trying to push you up against the fence for the sake of pushing you up against the fence. They're pushing you up there to get your fucking legs and take you down. And as the strikers, we're stopping them do that. So we should get points. You ain't going to tell me, buddy, I was fucked on many occasions.
Okay, I'm gonna say that I don't agree with you, but I see your opinion, but I don't agree. I say it just be 0-0. You didn't earn anything and he didn't earn anything. We're back to a neutral stance.
Sure.
So that's what we see, is just neutral. You know, no one did anything. He did an attempt and a failed attempt, and we're back neutral. That's what I would see it as.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, listen.
Okay.
Either way, you got the win, and you haven't got a mark on you, buddy.
So, yeah, I look pretty good. I actually
you look good.
So I make sure that we can see what's going on here. I'm good.
So when you want to get back in there, ASAP, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I like August. August would be nice. August would be nice to get back in, get a fight in there soon. But back to Clay. So we gave Clay
please.
Cage control. On my end, if you look at the striking, it's 23 to 87. So that's, that's almost 60 more strikes than him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, but when you put it like that, it's a massive differential. Yeah.
Yeesh. So that's one for me.
Yep.
On the striking. Not
hey,
only
buddy,
giving you.
I didn't judge your fight. I didn't judge
you. Like, I just want to make sure that we're clear. You're talking about clothes. Mike, you're talking about clothes. That was you said. That was out of your mouth.
Okay. All right.
That was out of your mouth.
Retract the word. A dominant performance. You beat the fuck out
of
him from start to finish.
And people were saying he got robbed. I feel personally like, what? He got robbed? Hold on a second. Let's look at the facts. So that's 60 punches ahead, Mike. Those are solid shots I was hitting with, because at the same time, this kid's trying to wrestle me. I can't put down. I can't sit on my punches because I gotta respect his takedown skills too.
Sure.
He keeps trying to jump back down and jump back down. We've seen how often he was doing it. He's supposed to be the pressure guy, right?
Yeah.
I pressed him all through round two and three. He faded after the first round. I pushed him. All he did was push me up against the cage and do nothing. I pressed him after, pressed him.
No, it was a very impressive performance. Strikes. What I like when I watch you fight is the fucking speed of the punches, man. And there's no wind-up whatsoever. A lot of people, when you watch closely, you can see, because they kind of telegraph it a little bit, right? They pull back, the face comes with yours. It just pops out there so fast.
Yeah, I'm really trying to work on my guys to get that too, to understand that, not to telegraph, just to let it fly. Some things that we work at back at our gym at Icon MMA, by the way, just if anybody wants to know where I train, Icon MMA. So, back to the thing. So I'm up two already, striking. And then two, I'm going to say more versatile. I like to say that too. When it comes to a competitive fight, when both two fighters are close, who's using what skills? Are they just using their hands? Or are they just using his legs? You know what I mean? Is he using hands, legs, knees? Is he using every type of, you know what I mean? I hit this guy with knees. I hit this guy with hands. I gave him with some legs. I gave him teeps. I gave him, leg kicks. I gave him a head kick. I give you every type of scene you can see in MMA. I give you wrestling. I give you defensive wrestling. I give you offensive, So, again, let's go back to this. Takedowns. He had three takedowns. I had two. That's okay. We'll give that on him. So, takedowns. But it's close in takedowns. But it's not close to striking at all.
No, you're right. And I totally agree. I do agree. I'm just saying, it was a 10-9 every round for you, which means you won the rounds, but you didn't, I'm trying to give you props. I'm not insulting your performance, Bobby. You did great, mate.
I don't want the props. I just want honesty. I want honesty. Yeah, this is
joking,
only to each other. So last thing I want to say is everybody's missing the submission attempts. He was shooting these shots at me, and I was going for these chokes. And then as soon as I started getting him, I almost got him. He spinned like a fucking noodle. That's around and falling on to get a takedown on him now, I had two or three of those. I had a couple of Kimuras that I was attacking. Yeah. I had one bent way behind his back at the last second where I was trying to finish him, but it was just an awkward position. I was doing the splits at the same time, so I had to shove his arm, block him, and then pound him with the other one. Bam, 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 bam. I gave him a couple of those to end it out, and send him goodbye.
It was a great fight. It was a great performance. I wasn't knocking it at all. All right, so you got out of there. You got the win. You got your win bonus this time. Congrats. Yes. No fucking injuries.
I understand when you said it's a close fight. And you're
all right.
You got to see. He only hit me twice. I don't know how he got 20 in there.
I'll watch it again, and I'll apologize if I was wrong.
He only hit me twice.
All right,
where did he see 20 at? Where are the 20 at?
Nah, well, sometimes those fucking CompuBox guys, they get it wrong. So who do you want to fight next? Who are you looking at?
Who do I want to fight next?
Yeah. What are we saying, Bobby? Come on.
Listen, I don't know how you do this, and I learned from you, and I learned from Chael. You should already have your guy lined up on who you want to call out so you can dictate your future. But I do not dictate my future. I've never got that that possibility. You're never where I got to say I want this guy, and I got this guy. You know? It's usually what they give me. That's it. And I get to say yes. Sure. You know, and that's it.
And I think that's how it goes for a lot of guys. You know, I mean,
for a lot of guys, but don't be. You said a lot.
But you should try. I always try and think beforehand if there's someone you can call out, because you don't want to waste that opportunity. Because I tell a lot of fighters, you know, after the fight, when you're on that microphone, that's your fucking time. That's your time to shine. Because the loser doesn't get that opportunity.
Yeah,
so you get to have that microphone. You get to look at the camera and you get to send the message to the world or send the message to the UFC or a potential opponent. That's why when I always hear someone say, oh, I'll take whoever the UFC give me, I'm like, fuck, man, you just wasted an opportunity.
Yeah, you just wasted your time. I've paid attention to every word you said. Trust me. And I'm listening. Yeah, yeah. But trust me, that does not work in my world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I've called 10 guys out. And give me this guy. And give me this guy. Well, and I'll fight that guy too. And give me this guy too. And line these three up too. Just any one of those five. Or any of these 10. Or any of these 15. And I got Barbosa, who the guy didn't call out at all.
Yeah, no, and Barbosa's a tough call for anybody.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying, and listen, I said yes.
No, I know you were. I know.
Don't run from nobody. And that's what Clay, Clay did. Clay made me look like I was an asshole. Listen, I fight any man with respect and honor. I don't cheat, you know? I came up to face up with Clay. He said some shit like, you finally made it here. I'm glad you made it. You know, like because we were originally supposed to fight each other. I blew my knee out.
I remember, I had
knee surgery, Mike. You know how it fucking is to have fucking knee surgeries more, you know? So I'm like, I took that shit personally. You don't know how hard it is to come back after a fucking knee surgery. I didn't came back after 4. Come on now. Who's doing it? And still doing my same shit. I was talking with Dominic. He's like, you don't only do that fights like you since day one. You can take 6 months off. You can take a year off, come back and still fight like me. I've been doing this stuff. Y'all just seeing this now. I've been fighting the same way with my hands down and beating these guys up and talking shit. This is what I do.
That's why people love to watch you fight, Bobby. Listen, you're very entertaining. The fans love it. I'm sure the UFC love it.
And it's all love. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or be cocky.
Bro.
I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not that in no way, guys.
Listen, this is what you got to be as a fighter. This is number one, you got to believe in yourself. You got to stick up for yourself because no fucker else is going to do it. Right? So I don't take it as being cocky or anything like that. When I was fighting, I seemed like the cockiest motherfucker alive because number one, you got to believe that you can beat all these motherfuckers. If you don't believe that, you're doing the wrong job. And no fucker else is going to sell you or yourself like you can do it. So you got to go out there. You got to take that stage. You got to take that platform. Talk all the fucking shit you want. You're not trying to win a popularity contest.
You can't talk all the shit you want, okay? Some cats ain't supposed to talk shit, okay? Some people are just not supposed to talk shit.
No. If it doesn't come natural to them, you got a big personality.
Yeah.
No.
And that's the only problem. It only comes natural to some people. Don't do it because you're going to sound like a fool. You guys come natural off with it. So I can't talk shit. They told me to shut up and fight.
Nah, fuck that. Everyone loves to hear you talk, Bobby. I love it, man. And I love it when you're talking in the fight.
I guarantee you they tell me to shut up. I guarantee you talk too much.
Who?
I guarantee you. That's why I don't even do interviews, Mike. Like, I don't do interviews at all, really. Like, I fuck around every once in a while. I pop out for certain people. Like, I really like you, so I popped out. But
you should, because you got a great personality, and you got a great story as well. And I think a lot of people will take a lot of inspiration from it. And I think the more interviews you do, and the more people see your personality, and then when you combine that with your fighting style, Bobby, you know, I mean, you've got the makings of a real big star.
there's some UFC staff that says these things, that you're a fucking star. Nobody just knows it. Nobody fucking cares about me. It's just what it is. Nobody fucking cares, okay? It's just been a – that's the way I feel since I was 4 years old, been a fucking foster kid. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
All by myself. And I've been doing this by myself, you know? And it's just like as I get a little older, I'm learning more and I'm getting better at this stuff. But those thoughts come in the back of my head all the time. I've always felt this since I was a kid.
Hey, listen. Nobody fucking cares. Well, of course, and I get that, obviously, with your upbringing and whatnot, you're always going to have that chip on your shoulder. And I always had that. But that chip on your shoulder, you fucking need that. That chip on your shoulder is part of the reason you work your ass off. That chip on your shoulder is why you're talking shit in the fight and you're performing. Do you know what I'm saying? If you didn't have that chip on your shoulder, you probably wouldn't be doing this in the first place anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right, dude. Well, listen, we'll let you go because I don't know what's happened to our fucking show because all the rest of them have all fucked off. I don't know what's happened. So, listen, Bobby, man, thanks for taking the time out. We're going to do this again sometime. I
appreciate you, Mike. You're the fucking man, bro.
Nah,
thanks
Bobby, you're the
come
man.
Come on the shit, you know what I'm saying? Fucking dude, with you.
Talk to me anytime and get out there, talk some shit, do some fucking interviews because we all need some more Bobby Green, all right, bud?
Yes, sir. Peace.
All right, later, bro. Look after yourself. Talk soon.
All right.
All right, man. So there was Bobby Green. You know, he was getting a little annoyed there at the end. I feel like he feels like he's a little disrespected. But, I mean, that man, I mean what I say. He's got a massive star potential. He's got a big personality. He's got a great story. And more importantly, he can fucking fight. That's what people want to see in the UFC. That's what they're tuning in for. They want to see people that can fight. And he can fight. He brings it every time. Excuse me. Got a very exciting style. Great wrestler. Oh, Lewis, you decided to join us.
Sorry about that, dude. Fucking internet shut down in the studio altogether. Of course, Brian's at home with his, at his grandma's house, just chilling with Wi-Fi. You're at home. Everything's fine. I'm in a state-of-the-art studio, and everything shuts down.
Eat steady on the state-of-the-art. You know, bro, haven't even got dial-up Wi-Fi.
Shit, where'd my glasses go? Harrington, get my glasses.
And the glasses now as well. I mean, our pets' heads are falling off.
Next door. Sorry,
you
Mike.
You couldn't possibly do a show without the glasses.
I apologize to you. I apologize to Bobby Green, but I will not apologize for my glasses, okay?
Mr. Bisping, oh my God. We got to talk about keeps. I wish we were advertising time machines because I would go back to when I was 18 years old when I started losing my beautiful, amazing, curly, beautiful, thick hair, and I didn't look like this. I'm an old man, and it's probably too late for me. But Mr. Bisping, you know what's going on. Keeps is where it's at. If you want to keep your hair, this is the place you got to go.
Listen, here's the sad news. Unfortunately, 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they are 35. Let me tell you, I've been using this product for a while. I'm 41, full head of hair, thick. That's my problem. My hair is just too thick. I spend a fortune on hairdressers. I've been taking this product for a while. I mean, I wish I could get some male pattern baldness. I wish. I mean, my hairdresser, she's going back and forth. She's putting a lot of miles in. She's pregnant, for crying out loud. And I'm overworking this woman because it is so thick and full and luscious. You know, I mean, my God, the Keeps is really doing its job, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're doing this just to bother me. I don't have a problem with being bald. Okay. Bald is beautiful as well. Let's not just hate on all the bald guys that are out there. Okay. But this, here's really who we're talking to because you're Bisping. We've seen you when you went bald. Bisping came into the UFC, shaved head. It was terrifying. It was not an attractive thing. He was pale. He was pasty. He looked like Humpty Dumpty. You do not want to be, if you're one of those guys with a pale, pasty head, me, I look great. I'm a cue ball. I couldn't look any better. But if you were like Michael Bisping and you have an ugly head and you want to save the hair, what?
If you are like Humpty Dumpty, we can put you back together again. Simple as that. If the baldness is the Humpty Dumptiness, then don't worry. We've got a fix for that because Keeps has revolutionized the men are treated for hair loss. Thanks to Keeps, you no longer have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now you visit a doctor online. You get your hair loss medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms and no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and the privacy of your own home. Please find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 1,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. And for a limited time only, you can get your first month for free. We are giving you hair for free.
Shut up.
That's one hell of a deal for getting to keep your hair, Lewis.
That's pretty incredible. I mean, what else do you want, guys? You have an incredible show. We make you laugh every week. We give you the latest and greatest mixed martial arts news.
We regrow your hair.
fucking insane. Nobody else is doing this, okay? All you have to do right now is go to keeps.com, KEEPS.com/believe. You're going to get your first month free. Once again, keeps.com/believe. And yeah, go grab your hair and keep it on your head. All right, where were we?
You missed a great interview.
What's funny is I heard a lot of it because it came back on. I didn't want to interrupt, and then God forbid it went out again. It would have just been annoying to ruin the flow. What an intriguing guy. You were saying he was getting annoyed at the end?
Well, no. He has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I was telling him, you need that chip on your shoulder. That's what's fueling you, right? Obviously, he had to go overcome a lot of adversity in his life. I mean, just talking about, you know, fucking walking from city to city, his mom stealing avocados off the trees, looking for somewhere to sleep. I mean, fuck me. I mean, yeah, we all have our little sob stories, but nothing but my story, or even a lot of people in the UFC, nothing like that. I mean, my parents were great. We were short of cash. Yeah, did they beat the fuck out of us on occasion? A lot. Yeah, they did. But still, you know, it was a house full of love, and we never went hungry. I never had a roof, you know, didn't fear not having a roof over our heads. I mean, that's a fucking totally different level. And the fact that he came through that, and now here he is, he was a fucking almost a state champion wrestler on multiple occasions. Now he's fighting in the UFC. You know, and he's turned his life around. Even though one of his brothers died. He was shot dead in some gang-related shit. His other brother was shot. You know what I mean? There was a very easy path that he could have gone down, a road right to nowhere, a road to prison. And I'm sure he delved down that path. I'm sure he might have, you know, taken a little stroll down that path on occasion and then decided to come back. Hey, I'm down that path every day. It's a great path.
Do you know what a criminal I was when I was a 17-year-old kid? I would steal everything. I would shoplift like it was with no fear. I would just walk in.
When's the last time you shoplifted something?
Truly shoplifted.
I do it now and again.
I do it now.
I do it in supermarkets.
Yeah.
All the time, but you answer first. Sorry, I asked the question.
Well, I was going to say, if a line is too long, I will walk the fuck out. I'm not going to wait on a crazy long line. If they don't have self-checkout, I'm sorry. If it's just one thing, what you got to do is or what I'll do is, like, let's say I'm walking around the store and let's say I open like a naked protein drink, I'll just start drinking it. And then when I get to the counter, if they don't say, hey, is that from here? I just play dumb. You just got to play dumb. So that I will do that sort of shoplifting almost every time that I'm in a store. I try to just get back money that I've given to society.
Yeah, my wife used to hate it. I haven't done this for a while, but when we used to go shopping in England, in Tesco's, when money was real fucking tight, I'd go in there and I'd have a fucking 3-course meal whilst walking up and down the aisles. I'd have a little, you know, whatever I could find in the fridge section for an appetizer. I'd grab a nice chicken sandwich. And when I'd finished it, I'd just stick it back into the cupboard, the shelves, but like at the back, you know what I mean? I'd have a nice bit of dessert. I'd have some chocolate. I'd open a drink and you just put the empty one. That was a long time ago. But my wife used to get so mad at me. It's so embarrassing, Mike. I'm like, oh, fuck it. No one cares.
When's the last time you shoplifted? Like, when's the last time you took something without paying for it? And I know it's way more recent than you even want to admit, but be honest.
No, I don't shoplift, Lewis. I might eat a sandwich without paying for it. I have done that when I was younger. No, I remember when I was at school, we got to do a little phase of going into this shop called Martin's in the town. And like all the sweets or the chocolate or the candy, as you guys say, the chocolate bars were behind an aisle where they couldn't even see you. So we just like just crouch down and throw them all into our school bag and then have like a fucking feast up the castle as we walked home. But then I remember one time fucking this copper policeman stopped us in the middle of it. He's like, where the fuck are you kids got all this chocolate from? I'm like, So we never did it again because we thought there was like a big conspiracy to catch us stealing chocolate bars. They got better things to do. Anyway, enough of that. Bobby Green, compelling character, great fighter. Thanks for joining us, Bobby. Looking forward to having him on again and looking forward to seeing him fight again. You did miss an interesting one, Lewis, because you would have had some good things to say. All right, let's get into the fights at the weekend. And I want to start with this. And can we play the clip, Brian O'Harrington? It's Bilal Muhammad versus Lyman Close. And they had a relatively close fight at the weekend. Lyman Close, what am I saying? Lyman Good, pardon me, Lyman. You know, I've told you before, on the Thursdays, we have the fighter meetings, right? And they're very beneficial. You know, they come in and they sit down and they tell us a bit of their story. We ask them questions. And, you know, sometimes the fighters don't give us very much. And other times, they give us a lot. And Lyman Good came in, and Jesus Christ, I was fighting back the tears. His father died 4 weeks ago. And he's, you know, he was training for this fight. And obviously on Sunday was Father's Day. So he wanted to dedicate this fight, this performance to his father. And I was like, wow. I mean, just the fact that you had the strength of character to still complete a training camp, going through that, you know, is an incredible testament of your character. And then he went out there on Saturday night, and unfortunately, he lost the fight. So I really felt for him. You know, I really did feel sorry for him. Not sorry in a pitiful kind of way, but I just understand, you know, the disappointment that would have brought to him.
Well, yeah, it reminds me. We just had, who was it that lost his stepdaughter? Walt Harris, yes.
Yeah, Walt Harris, yeah.
What reminds me of that. But when we talked about it at the time, it's a very similar thing. It's, you know, that normalcy, I'm sure, helps in its own way, whether it's a win or loss. Obviously, you want the win, you know what I'm saying? But I think that, you know, losing a fight pales in comparison to losing your family member, you know, your father, your daughter,
absolutely. No. They're not even close. What I'm saying is, he said he wanted to dedicate this win to his father and all the rest of it. And then when you lose the fight, you don't get the opportunity on the microphone. You know what I mean? So that probably felt was a big deal to him. Anyway, Harrington stirring the pot, trying to get me to talk shit. Harrington, are you there? Is he available to explain himself or no?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Harrington? Well, you tell me. Right, so you put in the notes, Big John McCarthy and Josh Thompson. I don't even know what their podcast is called. Very, very low on the pecking order. Don't subscribe, guys. Don't watch their podcast. But tell us what was going on.
Oh, they talk shit on the podcast specifically. Is there a podcast war of brewing?
There's two motherfuckers going to get knocked out of brewing, yes.
So Big John McCarthy was breaking down the fight, and they had an issue with how a lot of the judging shook out at UFC Apex 3. They said, you know, similar to what you guys have said before about getting guys down to watch fights and you know, doing like an overhaul of how the judging works. He also said, you know, two guys who definitely need to sit down and learn how to score a fight, have no clue how to judge, would be Dominic Cruz and Michael Bisping, because those guys had no clue what was going on.
Wow. This is Big John or Big Josh John. Thompson? Josh Thompson.
Big John. And Josh Thompson, recognizing the faux pas that the great Big John was doing, was like, whoa, he distanced himself pretty quick. He was socially distancing.
Whoa. He's pulling a real LA comic move, as they say. Well, really distancing himself from the problem.
I don't even know him. I don't even know him. I mean, yes, I toured with him 14 years ago. But other than that, what's his name again? What's his name? Yeah, I have met him. John McCarthy, Big John McCarthy, legend of the game. Maybe not. He's a referee, but, you know, I like John. John's a great guy. I always found him to be a good human being and stuff. So I'm not going to bust his balls too much. Listen, there's a little bit of confusion. Number one, you're fucking Bellator guys. Talk about fucking Bellator. Leave the big league stuff to the UFC guys. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
That is true.
You know, discuss Bellator. Okay, discuss the second tier.
We don't talk about Bellator.
We don't discuss Bellator. Okay. They've got nothing more to talk about, though. Bellator can't put shows on right now. And again, joke. But no. So here's what they're saying. Bilal Muhammad won the first round. Bilal Muhammad won the second round. And they're saying that I thought that Bilal possibly could have won the third round because he took Lyman Good down and took his back. Well, no. That is not what me and Dominic Cruz were saying. What we actually was saying, and I don't know because I haven't watched the commentary back. Maybe I misspoke and delivered the wrong message. But in my mind, this is what I said. Bilal Muhammad won round one, 10-9. Bilal Muhammad won round two, 10-9. That means he's 2 points up. My point I was making was Lyman Good went out there and had a very, very impressive third round. Did very well, right? But at the end, Bilal took him down and took his back. And the round ended, if I'm not mistaken, with his back taken, with Bilal trying to get a choke. I said that was important because that stopped the third round being a 10-8 for Bilal. And had that been, for Lyman, had that been a 10-8 for Lyman Good, it would have been a draw. You see what I'm saying?
That sounds like damn near perfect analysis from my perspective. From over here, I don't know, but I'm not a legend like Big John McCarthy.
I mean, Harrington, you watched it. Am I getting this right?
I can confirm you said that exactly verbatim as it went to commercial break.
Now, so what we're saying is Big John McCarthy and Josh Thompson are lying? They are putting false narratives out there. They're trying to strip down the UFC commentators just because you're with Bellator.
Is this, I mean, is this even about you, or is this sort of taking a shot at Dana White and the entire company?
I mean, are we talking cease and desist? Are we talking lawsuits here? Slanderous comments of such an egregious nature?
I'm just saying. Or we can simply go to podcast war. They don't want a podcast war. I think they'd rather go the litigious route than a podcast war.
I don't know. But, well, no, the only people getting litigious right now is me. I'm the one that's being besmirched. I'm the one that's being slandered. I'm the one that they're saying that we need to learn how to judge a fight. Big John, you need to learn how to watch a fight and listen to the fucking commentary. Because you're wrong, buddy. Respect you, like you, legend of the game. But you're wrong on this one, Big John. So sit the fuck down. That's it?
That's it. You responded. No,
John's great. John's great. I responded. You got it wrong, John.
Balls in your court, John.
Balls in your court. I just want to say, if there is a podcast war, I'm not being an asshole, Lewis. I'll take Josh Thompson over you.
Well, I was just talking about a physical war.
No, Josh Thompson's going to beat the fuck out of you when he sees you.
No. Well, first of all, Josh, you know, I outweighed Josh Thompson by quite a lot.
He head kicked Nate Diaz out cold.
I'm back into training for Ellis Mania. I'm going to be fighting Jason Ellis. I mean, I am a high-level trained athlete right now. Josh Thompson,
Big John has a significant weight advantage on me. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. They don't call him Big John for nothing. He's a big dude.
Two eyes. Two knees, two shoulders, two necks.
Oh, me. He definitely has two necks and three and four and five. Oh, sorry, I'm talking about the chins.
Shit, podcast war.
We need those drops, Brian. We need the drops back. Anyway, all right, there you go. We got that out of the way. Let's talk about this real fast. You probably didn't see it. Did you watch the fights, Harrington?
Harrington watched the fights. We spoke already. I only ended up watching a couple of the fights. I sort of.
All right. So, what do you want to talk about? Where do you want to go?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? The Josh Emmett Shane Burgos fight was great. I watched that entire fight.
That fight was incredible. That's really
the only thing that stood out from the entire night for me.
Yeah, the main event was kind of a lackluster. I mean, Curtis Blaydes definitely dominated the fight. Definitely out-wrestled him, took him down time and time again. And that's what I expected, to be honest. Verdum had success in taking Volkov down. And if Verdum could take Volkov down, then I assume Curtis could. You know, so it was a dominant performance. Round four and five, Volkov was coming back into it a little bit because Curtis got really tired. But anytime you're trying to take somebody down to that, you know, that extent that many times, you are going to get tired. So congrats, Curtis Blaydes. Co-main event, as you said, unbelievable. Shane Burgos, even though we lost, fuck, man, that guy's an exceptional fighter, as is Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett beat him. Josh Emmett looked incredible. He's always hit hard, but fuck me, he was fast, he was powerful. It was a great performance and a great fight. And I feel like Shane Burgos, his stock hasn't dropped at all. In fact, that was the first time he fought in front of Dana White. And he told us again at the meetings, he said, you know, I've never fought in front of Dana. I don't even know if he knows that I exist. Well, Dana White was on his feet at the end of every single round because that fight was absolutely fantastic. So Shane, chin up, buddy. I want to talk about this stuff real fast. At the start of the fight, I think it was the first or second fight of the night, Max Rochkopf. You know what I'm talking about, Harrington?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of controversy, wasn't there? Because Rochkopf took the fight, I think, on 10 days' notice. Okay, came in undefeated, only had five fights, Lewis, and he was fighting Austin Hubbard. He got him down in the first round. It was going okay. Second round, he started getting tagged. He started getting beat up, and he was very, very tired. At the end of the third round, he said, I'm quit. I'm done. I'm over. And his coach, Robert Drysdale, was imploring him to continue, saying, come on, buddy, you got this. Come on, come on, come on. And then the referee called the doctor over because there's no crowd. The referee overheard the dialogue between the fighter and the coach. Ooh. Right? Generally, if there's 20,000 people in there or 10,000, whatever, right, you're not going to hear those conversations. But he was saying, I'm done. And his coach was saying, no, come on, come on, get up. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. But the referee heard it. So the referee called the doctor in. The doctor went up and said, do you want to fight? And he said, no. And what you say to the doctor, it's done. And the referee called the fight off.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we saw that happen recently with a female fighter, Harrington. Who am I thinking of?
Raquel Pennington.
Raquel Pennington. Yeah. Who also fought.
Yeah.
on that card, same card. So interesting. But yeah, I mean, look, that, you know, it is what it is. It's not what you want to see for a fighter. I'm sure he's not going to be happy about the decision later on. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, but I don't think there's a problem with that. I don't think it's like, I think the referee uses his eyes, ears, you know, all the senses. And if he senses, the reality is he should be able to hear in the corner when there's a crowd there. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that they hide it isn't necessarily the most safe thing for the fighter. So once again, another reason why maybe, you know, no crowds can be a positive benefit.
Well, let me ask you a question, because me and Cruz had kind of a difference of opinion, as we often do, funnily enough, on the post-fight show. And I said that when he watches that fight back, Max Roshkoff, who has a tremendous future, he's a very talented fighter. He took the fight short notice and he got tired. Now, I know more than anybody, when you get tired in a fight, it's the loneliest place in the world. It's not like you're on a football team. You can't like just like keep a low profile for a few minutes while you get your breath back. You're fucked. It's you, your opponent, and the referee. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide.
You're praying you get that tired, somebody kicks you in the ball so you can get a break.
Yeah. No, you are. Seriously, that would be a great thing. And he said to the coach, I can't do it. And he quit on the stool. And I said, I think he'll be disappointed when he watches that back. And Dominic was like, no, he won't be disappointed. He did the right thing. And I don't know. I don't know if he did. I understand it's a tough sport and I understand it was tired. And I understand that he probably wasn't going to win that fight. So to Dominic's point, he just stopped himself going out there and taking more damage. However, the fact does remain that it wasn't the greatest display of heart. It was, I mean, I fucking could have fucking quit many times on my stool, you know, and I still went out there and managed to turn it around. I'm not saying he didn't have a heart, but I'm just saying, as a fighter, which he is, when he watches that back, it will sting a little bit, because he's like, and he'll wish, I'm not saying he's a pussy. He has my respect. He has my respect. I'm saying that when he watches that back, he'll be like, fuck, I should have tried. Now, of course, on Monday morning, he'll forget how tired he was. That's the reason why he didn't do it. And short notice, of course. But still, it's not what you want to see, in my opinion. Is that, look, am I being too tough?
You're not being too tough at all. I mean, look, you got to step back sometimes and say, you know, this is, you have to market yourself in a certain way. And that is a big problem. If you're in the what's that? I'm sorry, how do you say his last name again?
Roshkoff, I think it's Roshkoff pronounced.
Business. You're saying, shit, dude, you really fucked with your bottom line here, because you got to be a badass. No matter what way you want to slice it, martial artist, blah, blah, blah. You're a UFC fighter. You're supposed to be one of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. And I'm not saying that he's not one of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. I'm just saying, when you quit on your stool, when you tap to strikes, there's certain little things where you see in MMA where these things happen.
Yeah, tap to strikes is a bad one.
It's a bad one. And you go, you know, missing weight just sits wrong in a weird way. Like, it comes off as unprofessional. But there's certain things that are, you take it even further, where you go like, well, that isn't fucking badass. That is not, and by the way, GSP tapped to strikes against Matt Serra. So, and GSP is one of the greatest martial artists of all times. So you can come back from it. But that's a tough road back for him to quit on a stool. And it's not only say, I'm quitting the fight, but then to go, I'm done fighting for good. I'm retiring.
Why did he say that?
That's what he said, right? No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that's news to me.
I read retirement on Sherdog.
Yeah, that means he's retired from the fight.
Fuck you, Harrington.
Jesus Christ, Liz, do you even do your homework? I know you don't watch the fights. No, leave it
in. I'm kidding. No,
I know you're kidding. That's part of the fun.
No, leave it in. Part now.
Shame on you.
Hold on. I'm doing this for a while.
No.
The shame bell is back. Listen, Brian refuses to hit the sound bites, but fuck you, Brian. Shame on Brian as well. Give me a
shame.
There we go. Hey. Give me a bam, 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 bam. I agree with you, Mike.
I agree with you, Mike.
I like Lewis.
I like Lewis.
Nice. I'd be embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed if he did.
They're back.
We're back.
In the studio.
Shit.
Do we have a bomb? We need a bomb drop.
Are you not hearing it?
There we go. I like that. Let's drop the bombs more often. Anyway, Roshkoff, not trying to shit on you, buddy.
Hey, Mike, really quick, we should thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is CBDMD. I love CBDMD. They have so many incredible products. And if you don't know, CBD is the non-psychoactive chemical from the hemp plant. For marijuana, it is legal in 50 states. It doesn't get you high. This is not about getting stoned, which I've been known to do. This is about healing your body, getting your body back into homeostasis, making yourself feel better. CBD has been known and connected to helping with a multitude of things, everything from inflammation, physical pain, anxiety, trouble sleeping. I take it now that I'm training again. I'm using it for my sore muscles. Bisping, you've been loving your CBD MD.
Listen, as we spoke in the last show, I had a cervical epidural last week. Thank you to all the doctors, but I'll be honest, it hasn't given me any relief whatsoever. Nothing, zero. The only thing that is giving me relief right now, and this isn't a convenient ad read, I'm being honest, is the CBD MD. I've been applying that stuff morning, noon, and night. My neck muscle is just so tight. I had work on it, and they said the neck muscle is like a steel rod. I'm like, that's not the only part of me. That's like a steel rod, baby boy. You know what I mean? Have you touched my biceps? I am made of steel. Oh, and I'm not talking about
biceps.
My rod. Yeah, exactly. I know where you were going. Take your mouth out of the, your mind
I
out of the gutter.
I thought you were going into a Bluetooth ad. I was like, Bisping, wrong product.
We're doubling up with the ads. No. Seriously, it's so tight. It's fucking killing. The freeze and the recover, I've been applying that all the time. And it really is the only thing that's giving me relief right now. As you said, anxiety, inflammation, trouble sleeping, many, many benefits to CBD. And of course, CBD MD is the market leader. You want to get the best quality, and this is the best quality. And it's also the best prices per milligram. So if you want CBD, go to CBDMD.com and you got to use the promo code, which is, I think it's BYM20. That does several things. It lets you know that we sent you, so it supports our show. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. And it also gets you 20% off the best CBD available on the market. So go to CBDMD.com, use the code BYM20, 20% off, no more insomnia, relief from the anxiety, and maybe no more steel rods in my neck or in my pants. Whichever way it is, go to CBDMD.com. All right, where were we?
Go on. Say this?
Go on.
Not to play devil's advocate, but I'm looking at Raquel Pennington. And which fight was it that...
Just pull your mic down a bit, Lewis.
Oh, sorry. Which fight was it that she didn't answer the bell?
It was against Chris Cyborg, I believe, in round 4 or 5. Incidentally, while you look that up and just kill time massively, Dana White came out and said that he shouldn't be criticized. And I understand that, right? We don't want to see a young fighter go out there and take more damage. And I say that all the time. And I'm always tough on the coaches if they implore their fighter. But as I say, he wasn't that bad. He didn't have the shit kicked out of him. And he had the skills to be able to pull off a submission. I'd rather go out on the stool. And I'm not saying that from a meathead perspective. He's a young guy. There's no point taking more damage. But he still had a bit of fight in him. That's all I'm saying. That's my whole point.
Is he going to get another shot in the UFC, do you think? Or do you think he's going to have to go back and prove himself again?
Well, he did look good. And he had some good takedowns. He had some excellent submission attempts. He did an Imanari roll. He definitely looked polished. You know what I'm saying? And he did take the fight on 10 days' notice. 10 days' notice, biggest fight of your life. Dana White sitting right there. You know, you can't control those emotions because he's still young in his career. So I would like to see him get another shot. However, the danger of fighting in the UFC at 5-0, you still haven't got experience. That's why I think there needs to be a minimum for the number of fights. I mean, far be it from me to lay down thresholds on the UFC. I'm not saying that. But I'd like to see some, you know, 5 fights isn't a lot of fights. 5 fights, you're still learning. You're still learning how to deal with the emotions. You know, a lot of people, they say, I don't understand. I trained so hard for that fight. But when the fight started, I got really tired. That's because they're so nervous. They're not breathing. They're holding their breath, you know, but because you learn to relax as you get more and more experience. So I hope he gets another shot in the UFC. And if they, you know, they might say to him, go get a little more experience. But either way, I think he deserves another shot for taking the fight on 10 days' notice.
Yeah, well, that's the real part, right? 10 days' notice. And I know that, you know, you're a consummate professional. You never miss weight for a fight. You know, you won the title on short notice. So you understand that side of it very, very well. But once again, in these crazy times, 10 days notice, everything's just getting back to normal. I say, yeah, give the guy a pass. He had a good performance up until that time. So, yeah, dude, because he will, if he doesn't get another shot in the UFC, that will haunt him for the rest of his life, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Especially, as I say, he is very skilled. He's got excellent grappling. And you don't acquire that level of grappling unless you put a lot of time in. So he's clearly put a lot of time and effort into this. He's a great wrestler, excellent jiu-jitsu. He's a solid prospect. He just got beat on Saturday night, right? The only issue was he kind of like didn't go out for the third round. I just like to see fighters go out on their shield. You could say it's small. You could say I'm a meathead. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Where should we go now? Where should we steer this ship? I'm seeing talk, and is this really going to happen, or is it just bullshit, or is it just rumors? John Jones and Mike Tyson, Lewis, what do you know about this? Or Brian, or Harrington, or anybody? Give me some info, and I mean, I have some. I'm just allowing you guys to also have the floor.
Yeah, please. I haven't heard anything about this, to be honest with you. This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
All right, so, Harrington then. Harrington, go ahead.
So John Jones took to Twitter and he said, you know, he's looking for a big money fight. And he thinks the best idea would be Mike Tyson in a home and home kind of situation where he fights Mike Tyson in a boxing match. Then Mike Tyson comes over to MMA. He promises that he won't break anything on Tyson.
I mean, listen, we got the baddest man on the planet. We got the greatest of all time. And I'm not talking about Mike Tyson. I'm talking about John Jones. John, you're a great fighter. What you do? Mike Tyson had his day. Why call out fucking Anthony Joshua in a boxing match? Call out Lennox Lewis. Sorry, not Lennox Lewis. Deontay Wilder or Ruiz or any of those guys that are current and relevant. And we know Tyson's on about coming out of retirement. But still, he should fight another legend. He shouldn't fight fucking John Jones in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, if John's serious about that, which I don't think he is, once again, John gets bored late at night. Who knows what John's doing? Who knows what activities John's partaking in? And he gets to Twitter and he gets some crazy ideas. I don't buy that he's even angling for it. Nobody would let this fight happen, and there's no commission that would sanction that type of fight anyway under any circumstances. And it's just sort of stupid and silly. Yeah, I think John Jones, if he wants to, we've talked about it time and time again, he needs to focus on MMA. He needs to move up to heavyweight and he needs to sort of fix his reputation there. And if he's going to fight in a boxing match, yeah, John Jones, not for nothing. All bullshit aside, a lot of people would tune in to see John Jones box, a heavyweight box, a prize fighter, championship level fighter. And John Jones is an incredible striker, understands distance better than almost any MMA fighter. It's not a foregone conclusion that he would just get his fucking ass handed to him by a boxer. He's an incredible fighter. So that is, usually when you hear about these things, I go, I don't want to see that. But John Jones, if he's bored, fuck it, dude. Go fight one of these guys that Bisping just mentioned, and I'd tune in for that for sure.
Listen, anytime John Jones fights, everyone's going to tune in and watch it. From the UFC's perspective, they're fan-based. Yeah, of course, they're going to watch John Jones. John Jones box, another well-known, very famous and capable professional boxer. Of course, it's combat. And the two biggest combat sports are boxing and UFC. So, of course, they're going to watch him do that. Isn't it wild? And it just shows the star power of Mike Tyson still to this day that he's been linked to so many fighters recently. Vanderlei Silva, there was talk that... he got offered some crazy money, $20 million to fight Tyson. Then there was Tito Ortiz throwing his name in the hat. Now we've got John Jones. You know, if Tyson's going to fight again, I'd like to see him fight someone his similar age in a demonstration match, put some money in his pocket, maybe give some to charity. Him versus Evander Holyfield, again, something like that. But yeah, there you go. What have we got?
It's kind of fun. Well, did you see John Jones? Did you put that in the notes, Harrington? John Jones tweeting about the word negro?
No, I just saw that as we were in the car today.
It's so funny, dude. He got mad because I guess it said, he was at a clothing store and it said black, and then underneath it said negro, which is Spanish for black. And he was like, are you serious? You're going to have the word negro? I had to explain to my daughter why it says negro. And I don't know if he edited it, but he did catch himself and he was like, and I know it means black in Spanish, but I bet you that was fucking edited. Go check to see if it was. But I mean, just delete it. At that point, you got to delete it. You made a stupid statement. It's dumb. There's nothing racist about the Spanish word for black. It's crazy.
No, there isn't. All right. What have we got? We got questions or anything like that? Any fan content that's been sent in to us?
I have one question that's a little long, but it's probably worth listening to.
All right, let's do it.
Let's see.
Who do we have?
Brad Galea.
Mike Lewis, how you going, boys? Brady from Melbourne. keep up the great content. Just a quick one for you. What do you say to a fighter? Say you run into a fighter who've just come off a recent loss, and by recent I mean like days or whatever, hours, whatever. So I ran into Sam Alvey probably 4 hours after his knockout loss to our boy Jimmy Crute. Shout out Jimmy Crute. And yeah, I don't know why, but I fucking just walked up to him and said, "Hey man, how you going?" And he had Dan Henderson behind him, and he just like stared right into my eyes, and I was like, "Fuck, I should not have just asked this guy how is he going." And then I just like apologized. I'm like, "Oh, sorry, man. I don't know why I said that. I just wanted to say hi." And then he was like, "Oh, no, that's all good, man." And then yeah, I'm like, we got a photo together and stuff. But yeah, like, what do you say, Mike? I'm sure you see.
Yeah. It. All right, we get it. He was right. Pause that, Brian. Thank you, Brad Galea from Melbourne, Australia. Appreciate it there. Thanks for the question. I think what he's saying is, what is the protocol? Because there is a little bit of an unwritten rule, because
etiquette.
Like for example, I was working with Dominic Cruz at the weekend. The last time we saw Dominic in the public eye, he lost in a world title attempt to Henry Cejudo in the first or second round, and you know, obviously, clearly a touchy subject for him. I've been there myself. And people come up and they bring up the fight. If you see someone that very recently just lost a fight, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up because it stings. It fucking hurts. It's like going up and bringing up, like, I don't know, the fact someone in their family died. Well, no, that's different. That's nice. You're sending your condolences, but whatever. But just don't mention it unless the fighter brings it up. Don't mention it. Say, "Hi, great to meet you. Big fan, whatever. Can I get a snap?" Yeah, no problem. But don't go up and go, "Oh, that was a tough one. You got your fucking ass kicked there, didn't you, mate? Ah, well, never mind. You'll be back, pal."
Another day at the office, right? Come on.
Yeah.
We didn't get to it. But he also asks, what's the dumbest thing that somebody said to you after a fight?
Oh, well, before you answer that, I remember I told you I met Joe Daddy Stevenson years ago in Montreal, right?
Go on. And?
Bisping. Do you remember that I told you that? Like, randomly. Like, it was before I was doing comedy, but it was before I was known at all in comedy. And he had just fought and lost to BJ Penn in, like, a brutal fucking way. It was the one where BJ beat him up. I think it was a second round TKO, and then licked his blood off his gloves. It was like one of the bloodiest fights in UFC history.
Yep.
And I remember
I was there. UFC 80 in Newcastle, England. Boom.
Don't say this
knowledge.
Guy's punch drunk. Don't say this guy's punchy.
Fucking knowledge,
fuck
bro.
Here, bro. Perfect memory. So, I went to a skate shop and tried to buy weed from a guy. Give the guy my number. Say I'm going to a comedy show. Later on that day, Joe Stevenson and a bunch of fighters came in because they were fighting, he was cornering some guys in some small show in Montreal. And they came in and they were looking for something to do. So they ended up giving the guy at the bike shop gave Joe Stevenson my number, being like, "Oh, these guys are doing a comedy show." So randomly I get a phone call. This is so many years ago. This is so weird and bizarre. I'm a big UFC fan.
Maybe that's why the details of the story are a little sketchy, and the entertainment value of the story is a little sketchy as well. But continue, please.
I'm going to do that next time you're telling a fucking
I'm
long
ravaged.
Story.
I'm enthralled. I'm enthralled. Continue.
I hate him so
the guy at the store gave you a number.
You crash your car into a lake.
That's not very nice. Continue.
So he gave my number to Joe Stevenson. I randomly just get a phone call like, "Hey, this is Joe Stevenson, UFC fighter." I'm like, what? Like, it's just bananas. You have to understand the mindset. I'm like a fucking kid who watches UFC and I'm getting a phone call from this guy out of nowhere. I'm opening for some dude at a comedy club. And he ended up coming out to the show that night. We hung out. A bunch of fighters came out. And I remember all night, I kept on just bragging to people. I was like, "Yeah, but just Joe Stevenson. Dude, he just fought for the title. Man, he went to a decision with BJ Penn. It was incredible, crazy. And he didn't go to a decision. He got fucking stopped." And I kept on saying this all night to everybody. And Joe Stevenson never corrected me. Not once.
Yeah, because it stings. Because on one side, like your incorrect version of reality does him a favor in everybody's minds. Like, no, and he doesn't want to offend you either, you know, whatever. Joe's a very level-headed, you know, mellow guy, so he probably didn't give a fuck, so I'm sure you didn't offend him. Stupidest thing someone said, I don't know, there's been a lot of stuff over the years. I remember once I went down to Ruka. I was training with Jason Perillo, and I was training to fight Brian Stan. And there was a guy in there. There was a guy in there that didn't obviously recognize me as being Michael Bisping. And I'm in there, and I'm just getting changed to warm up. And he comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, you see that they just matched up Brian Stan and Michael Bisping?" I said, "Yeah, I did, yeah." He goes, "What the fuck's that guy going to do? He can't do anything to Brian Stan. What the fuck's he going to do?" I'm like, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Yeah, Brian hits so fucking hard, man. Brian's going to flatline that guy." I'm like, "No, he's fucking not." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I am Michael Bisping, you prick." And then Perillo was there. Perillo was laughing his fucking head off. And the guy felt really bad. I'm like, "How don't you? I'm in a gym. I'm getting dressed. I look like Michael Bisping. I sound like Michael Bisping. And I'm as big of a prick as you imagine Michael Bisping to be." But yeah, there you go. That was my answer to the question. Do we have any others or just the one this week?
Just one good one this week.
Yeah. Right, many good. Shit. Remember, if you have some content.
Sorry.
I was going to do the plugs, bro.
I'll step back.
If you have any content that you would like to send in, perhaps a fan question, a video question, we do love content that you create, and we will share it to our millions of viewers, which is slowly encroaching 75,000. Send it in.
Also, might I add, please go to our YouTube channel, subscribe there, click the notification button. That means you'll get a notification every time a new show is about to start streaming, which we have been known to be in the live chat for as well. iTunes, leave us a positive ranking, 5-star review. And if you want access to every episode of the show that we've ever done, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 14-day free trial. Free trials all summer long. Yeah, baby.
And once again, I will say this to everybody in the live chat when the YouTube premieres. It is me. The Mike the Count, the profile that says Mike the Count, it is me. They say, "Oh, that is him. That's an imposter." It is me. Anything to leave the show on, Lewis? Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm happy to be back. We were off for a little bit of time, which, you know, it happens every once in a while. But we are doing two this week for sure. And we will be out when I'm out in Cali. I'm bringing a bunch of equipment. If we're fucking flying Brian and Harrington to California on the show's budget, they're bringing all the equipment. And we're going to do some really cool shows.
Well, let's find out. Because if that's the case, if you can do that, see if it's feasible. See if it makes sense economically. And if it is, I'll start looking at a log cabin in Big Bear. It'll actually be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of fun.
I'm coming no matter what.
Yeah, you're coming. Right, so we'll get... No, but I know. But listen, we'll have to get a bigger place if they're fucking coming. So I need to know.
Put them in a tent. Put Harrington in a tent.
There's bears outside. In the wild, bro. There's bears and they're hungry and if they smell Harrington, they will fucking eat him.
He's trying to make me cry. Fuck him.
There you go. Brian with the drops. It's not
Brian. We keep giving Brian credit. I like that better, actually. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck Harrington. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with another one Wednesday or Thursday. All the best. Take care.